Let's study the scriptures together, and today I would like to talk about Purim and its lessons. And I would like to ask you to open the scriptures with me, because we'll look many places of scripture together. We will go through many places of scriptures today. So we all know this story. It has been said that the story of some Jewish holidays can be reduced to three short sentences. First, they tried to kill us. Second, we won. And third, let's eat. Yeah, Purim, this is this kind of holiday. We won and let's rejoice, let's eat together. Purim was to become one of those joyful, fun-filled Jewish holidays. It is celebrated annually on the 14th day of the Hebrew month Adar. It is beautiful, it is joyful Jewish holiday. According to the scroll of Esther, they should make them days of feasting and gladness, and of sending portions one another and gifts to the poor. Name of this holiday came from word pur, which means lots, as it in the expression to cast lots. So it's very important to remember, because we will talk about it later. Purim now is our annual commemoration of the survival of the Jewish people at that time when they were captives in ancient Persia. At that time, the king's name was Ahasuerus. It was his name. Well, the king appointed a man named Haman. Good, you remember. Looks like our service will be very long today. Because I will mention his name many times today. So yeah, I hope everybody online heard these voices right now. Not be afraid, it's a normal thing in Jewish congregation. So Ahasuerus appointed him as his chief advisor. It became Haman's plan to kill all the Jews in the empire. His plans were foiled by Mordechai, one of those captive Jews, yeah, and by Esther, the queen. Yeah, I think we'll go alone today. Who happened to be his cousin. And as for Haman, it did not go very well. Esther is the brave heroine in the story, because she put her life on the line, risking everything for her people, and famously said, "If I perish, I perish." Therefore, when we talk about Purim, we are talking about Esther. Thank you, Esther. When I think of Purim, I remember the Lord's faithfulness and His protection in our lives. This is the first thing that comes to my mind. His faithfulness and His protection in our lives. No matter how the enemy tries to destroy us, we are still alive. As in the famous song, "Am Israel Chai, O Davinu Chai." Israel lives, our Father lives. We live because of our Father. The Lord is faithful to His promise, and His heart is filled with love for His children. And one of the very interesting and important places of Scripture is the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. "If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." Please think about it. Even when we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. I think this place of Scripture describes situation during the time of Purim. He was faithful always. And how wonderful it is to have such a Father, such a Lord, who is faithful always to us. Throughout our history, the enemy of human souls sought to destroy us. That enemy knew God's words, as long as the sun is in the sky. This was the promise from the Lord about Israel. He understands that God has made us his primary evidence of his faithfulness. If only Satan could get rid of God's chosen, he will won. But we can see today the sun keeps shining, and especially in Florida. Remember about that. And we are still here. Why? Because of faithfulness of the Lord to us. Am Israel Chai. O Davinu Chai. The Purim holiday is a reminder to us that we do not need to be afraid. But it is also a reminder to our enemies, those who wish to destroy us. That hatred of the Jewish people will not lead to anything good for them, only to their destruction and death. And this is the Purim. It is no accident that Purim is called the holiday of victory. Purim is a celebration of the victory of the Almighty over evil, over dark designs, over an adversary, and any that would fall into a conspiracy with him. As they say, the darkest darkness comes just before the dawn. Please remember that. And Purim confirms this. When defeat seems already inevitable, when there is no one to rely on and from whom to expect help, it was no hope. It was time with no hope. It is at such moments that real salvation comes from the Lord. There is no hope anymore. He comes. We remember that Purim derives from the word pur, which means lot. And I would like to read a couple places of scripture. First of this place, it's Psalms chapter 16, verse 5. And please receive this word by faith into your life. It is important to remember this place of scripture. Psalm 16, verse 5. The Lord is my portion and my cup. He is my life. He's everything I have. He's my joy. He's my life. He's everything. You cast my lot. Who cast my lot? Haman? No. No. Yeah, let's slow here. No, the Lord, he cast my lot. Remember about this. The Lord, he is in charge. His word is always the last word. The second place in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but their very decision is from the Lord. The Lord, he is in charge of everything. Haman was defeated, and the evil he planned for the Jews turned against him. Because the Lord in charge. His word is the last word. The people of Israel were saved and continued their historical path, guarded by the Heavenly Father. And please remember, this is an important lesson from the book of Esther. Yes, the Lord, he did his part, but it requires fasting and prayer. It requires open heart and trust to the Lord to gain victory. Esther, she was brave. She decided to follow the Lord until the end. So let's move on to the lessons of Purim, and I would like to share a couple lessons for today. I believe you know about them, but let's look together in the scriptures and go through the scriptures together. So, the first lesson, the Lord works behind the scene. Many believe that the book of Esther was written to illustrate how God works behind the scene. And it seems so, considering that the text of the book does not mention the word God or religion. You will not find the name of the Lord in this book. Nowhere. He works behind the scene. The times of Mordechai and Esther are the times of the hiding of the face of the Most High. This was the difficult time for Jewish people. Hiding his face, hiding the face of the Lord, is a stage of the people when people do not feel that God is in control of the world. So the Lord is there. He's always there. He's always here. But this special time when people do not feel them, feel him. They are lost, do not know how to act. It seems to them that God hid himself, left the world to the mercy of fate and chance. This is time in the life of people who turn away from the Lord. As soon as our ancestors departed from their calling to be the people of God, usually it's because of fear. Many times our people try to be like other nations around us, do not be carriers of God's anointing. Then problems began. Interestingly, in the Torah, in the book of Dvarim, Deuteronomy, there is a warning about the times like the time of Purim, where the Lord himself warns what will happen if his people turn away from him, their Savior and Lord. And let's open Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 18, and look together. This is prophecy. This is warning from the Lord about such a time as time of Purim. Deuteronomy 31, verse 18. I will surely hide my face on that day because of all the evil they have done. For they have turned to other gods. Let's say together, I will surely hide my face. This is the Lord saying to Israel, when you turn away from me, I will hide my face. So the Lord is there, but they turn away from him. What they need to do? They remember this special word, teshuvah, turn to him. Turn to him. In the times of Purim, the Lord shows us that even though it seems to people that the Lord has hidden himself, they feel that way, that he is no longer present among his people, that he does not care about us, and everything around is getting worse. In fact, truth, the Lord has not gone anywhere. He's there. He's with them. He's preparing his plan of salvation, even when we don't feel it. He's there. He will never turn away from his people. He has plan of salvation and deliverance, even when we do not feel it. Remember, Queen Esther, she kept her religious and national identity a secret. Mordecai told her, "Do not tell anyone that you are Jew." Until the special time. And no one knew that she was Jewish until the time came from God to reveal it. It was an important moment in her life. Again and again, throughout the history, the God of Abraham shows that at the most critical moment, he is there to save. He is there to save. So when you read the book of Esther, do not read it as a story. Apply it into your life, to yourself. You are so important to the Lord. And even if you are going through a difficult situation right now, trust the Lord. Believe that he is with you. It doesn't matter, do you feel it or not, he is with you. Yeshua, he died for you. You can trust him. How important is to remember this lesson in our life today? When it may seem that the Lord is far away, and we may not understand what is happening to us, we need to live by faith. This is the moment to live by faith, by trust. Trust the Lord is with us. Trust. Trust. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Let's read together. Romans 10, 13. This is promise from the Lord to us, to you, to me. For everyone who calls upon the name of Adonai shall be saved. Let's say together, shall be saved. Okay, English is a very tricky language. When it's O, it's usually A. When it's A, it's usually A, you know. So, shall be saved. Does it mean that maybe he will be saved? If he'll be lucky, he will be saved. No? Shall be means for sure. He will be saved. There are no exceptions here. And the second word I love here, everyone. 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 If you are still here, if you are listening to me online, I have good news to you. Everyone includes you too. Everyone who calls upon the name of Adonai shall be saved. And Book of Purim, this is confirmation for it, about it. The Lord prepares his plan of salvation. He has Esther hidden from the people around until the time and prepared for the right time to deliver his people. So Esther and Mordecai, it was the hidden plan of the Lord on this earth. Nobody knew about it. Everything was so bad around. So bad, so difficult. But the Lord, he is working. He prepared Mordecai. He prepared Esther. Nobody knew what's going on. Even they were sure everything's fine. Now life will be easy. To be a queen, it's a great thing, I think. I don't know. But the Lord is in the work. He's working. And he's working right now, today, in your life. Please ask yourself, if you are the hidden one for somebody who needs mercy from the Lord, who is waiting for deliverance from the bondage of sin. Is anybody in your life who needs this good news from the Lord? Who needs freedom from the Lord? Maybe you this one. Maybe you're Esther. I know we have Esther here today with us, for sure. But spiritually, maybe you are Esther for somebody. So let's go to another very important example for us today. Important lesson from the story. The second lesson, that the Lord is the God of a second chance. Please write for yourself and type it. The Lord is the God of a second chance. It is important to remember. It is important. You know, how many people live in the bondage of condemnation? They think that the Lord is done with them, finished with them. They failed the Lord. No future, nothing ahead. But remember, the Lord is always the God, the Lord of a second chance. So today I want to consider what led to the events of the book of Esther. So in the history of Esther, the existence of the Jewish people was threatened by the hatred and arrogance of one man named Haman. Yeah. Yeah. According to some Torah scholars, the life of this man, Haman, was the result of the disobedience of the king of Israel to God's command many years ago. So let's study together. Let's open the scriptures and go very carefully through scriptures. So let's open 1 Samuel chapter 15. Here's the God told Saul to conquer the Amalek and destroy everything, including the cattle. So let's read 1 Samuel 15, verse 2 and verse 3. This is commandment from the Lord to King Saul. Thus says Adonai Tzavaot, and remember the name of the Lord, Adonai Tzavaot, the Lord of armies. Thus says the Lord of armies, Adonai Tzavaot, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now, Go and strike down Amalek and put all he has under the ban of destruction, so have no pity on him. Is it clear command from the Lord? I mean, it was clear. It was command from the Lord. Go and destroy. Go and conquer. Despite the fact that Saul was a victor, he kept Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and kept the best part of the cattle. You know the story. It's the verse 9, the same chapter, verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag as well as the best of the sheep. And later, you know, when Samuel came to him, he said, oh, blessed be the Lord. We kept only things to, you know, to present to the Lord, and rest we destroyed. So they kept everything the best for themselves, but rest, you know, they don't need it. They destroyed. So then he blamed the people for everything. Then he faced Samuel. Verse 15, Saul replied, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to Adonai your God, but the rest we have utterly destroyed. Utterly destroyed. They took the best, but rest utterly destroyed. Yeah, thank you. What an obedience, yeah? The Lord told, destroy everything. After 500 years, when Jews live in exile in Persia, we can read about Haman, the enemy of the Jewish people. And let's read Esther chapter 3, verse 1, and let's find similarity between King Agag and this man, Haman. Yeah, Esther 3, 1. Sometime later, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman. And here, be careful, let's read carefully. Son of Hamedatha. What a name, eh? Hamedatha. The Agagite. So he was Agagite, descendant of Agag. So which means Haman was from Agag, from this king that Saul did not destroy. Interesting. From 1 Samuel chapter 15. When Haman discovered that Mordechai, a Jew, did not bow to him, he was filled with rage and planned to kill all the Jews. I have a question. Why did he have such a harsh reaction on Mordechai? I think it's my opinion, and not only, but I heard about it a lot. Because for Haman, this is not just arrogance, but historical hatred and personal revenge. He knew the history of his tribe. He knew the story about what happened with King Agag years before. And now he was in power and he was ready to destroy all the Jewish people. I want to read one interesting place of scripture. It's Esther chapter 4, verse 13 through 14. It's a great place of scripture from this book. Esther 4, 13, 14. Mordechai told them to reply to Esther with this answer. Do not think in your soul that you will escape in the king's household more than all Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Who knows whatever you have whether you have attained royal status for such a time is this. While many are familiar with the story of Queen Esther, not everyone hears the message about the consequences of disobedience and how God gives a second chance to those who do his will. So let's read a few places of the scriptures and try to find the similarity between them. Again, a couple places of scriptures. First place, it's 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Samuel 9, 1 and 2. And let's read carefully here. Now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Behorath, son of Afia, son of Benjamite. He was a mighty man of valor. Verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, young and handsome. So again, remember this name. Kish from tribe of Benjamin, and his son Saul, who became a king of Israel, and who disobeyed the Lord in later when he spared King Agag. So now let's read Esther chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 7, and let's find similarity between these two places of Scripture. Remember, Kish from tribe of Benjamin. And now let's read about Mordecai and about Esther, who they were. Esther 2, 5, 7. There was a Jewish man in the Shushan palace whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, and Benjamin. Wow. The same tribe, the same family. The same family. King Saul family. What is story? Saul, son of Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin, lost his kingdom because he did not destroy Amalek, saving the life of King Agag. And now Esther, 500 years later, Hadassah, a descendant of the house of Kish, she was raised to the kingdom just for such a time. Just for such a time. From the same tribe, from the family of Saul. The time when Haman the Agagite, a descendant of Agag, a descendant of Amalek, tried to destroy the Jewish people, Esther, a descendant of Kish from the tribe of Benjamin, the same family King Saul was, ascended the royal throne precisely for this time. And you remember when Mordecai told her, if you will not go, you will die, and your family house will be destroyed. If you remember, she hadn't have father. She was alone. So it was not about her father. It was about tribe, about her family. Mordecai did not mean Esther's family. He was talking about her father's house. And the book of clearly says that this is the house of Kish, the house of Saul. Her father's house was another royal family in Israel. So now, please, I would like to keep our attention here. Esther and Mordecai were given the responsibility to atone for mistake made many generations before by King Saul when he disobeyed the Lord and kept Agag, king of the Amalekites. And now Esther was called by the Lord to destroy Haman, the descendant of King Agag. The Lord is the Lord of second chance. Amalek must be destroyed, and the tribe of Benjamin must do it. Disobedience of Saul and obedience of Esther, 500 years later. The same tribe, the same family, appointed by the Lord to do that. The Lord gives us a second chance. When we have shown pride and disobedience, He is ready to deliver us. In the same way today in our life, in order to turn evil into good, to see the light of salvation and feel the triumph of victory, we need to open ourselves to the Lord, admit our failure and inability to help ourselves, and accept Yeshua as the promised Messiah and deliverer. And I would like to end with a couple places of scriptures. I believe it is important for us during the time of Purim. The first is John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, we know who it is, Haman, Satan, who is always trying to destroy, who is always present throughout the history. The thief comes only to steal our calling, steal our desire, steal our faith. He comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. It is his goal, very simple. I have come, Yeshua have come, that they might have life and have it abundantly. We have life in the Holy Spirit with Yeshua, abundant life. I believe this is Purim for us. This is Purim every day. And the second place, John 3:16, very famous place. 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen and amen. The events described in the book of Esther are a type of the miraculous salvation and the gift of eternal life, which we receive through the sacrifice of Yeshua. Yeshua is our joy. He is Purim for us every day of our life. So again, I would like to say, Happy Purim. Happy Purim. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord. So let's stand together, and in the end, let's receive Aaronic blessing together. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. We keep distance with Kenter Bryan. Yeah, let's pray together. Yevrecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha veaselecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom and Chag Purim Sameach. Shabbat shalom.